Annoyed as fuck. I'm afraid Asa will be able to hear my pulse from his room. Sloane continues walking around the pool until she's standing right in front of me. She's too close, but even then she steps even closer. So close I can feel the wetness from her bra pressing against my chest.
Are you? She whispers. Are you interested in fucking me, Carter?
She isn't acting like herself right now. I don't know why she emphasized my name, but it forms a nervous knot in my throat. I can't tell what's come over her, but this feels like more than just jealousy over Tilly. What is she doing? I want to cover her up with a blanket and hide her just as much as I want to cover her mouth with mine and kiss her. She's confusing me. She repeats herself.
Are you interested in fucking me?
I can't tell if she's mad at me, if she wants me. I fight my own hands as they slide to her hips. Not really, I say, my voice rough. I'm much more interested in making love to you. I see the roll of her throat as she swallows. I want to kiss her so bad, but it would definitely be the kiss of death because I would never stop. That or she'd kill me if I tried. I still can't tell if she's angry with me or not. She acts like she wants me to touch her, to kiss her, but she's looking at me like she wants to throw me in the pool and hold my head underwater. She wraps her fingers around one of my hands that is still gripping her hip, and then she drags my hand up across her stomach and to her breast. I swallow hard and glance up at her bedroom window to make sure we aren't being watched. What are you doing, Sloane? She leans in and stands on her toes until her breasts are pressed against me and her mouth is against my ear. My entire chest heats up from the proximity of her. I close my eyes and slip one of my hands around to her lower back, my fingertips dipping into the back of her underwear as I tug her closer against me.
Do you get a promotion if you make it to third base with your subject's fiancé? She whispers.
My eyes suddenly pop open. I'm frozen at that question. Does she know? How does she know? I carefully thread my fingers through her hair, tugging her head back so I can look down at her. I look at her like I didn't understand her question. She smiles, but the betrayal in her eyes is much more evident now that her question pulled me out of my trance.
I know what you are, she says. I know what you're doing here, and now it all makes sense why you're so interested in me.
She pulls away from me, stepping back until my hands are no longer on her. She's shooting daggers at me with her eyes. There's no mistaking her anger now.
Don't you dare speak to me ever again, or I'll tell every last one of them you're undercover. Luke.
Fuck. She tries to walk past me, but I immediately step in front of her. When she starts to speak again, I cover her mouth with my hand and look toward the back door. No one has seen us yet. But I need to get her somewhere more private before she does something to get us both killed. She tries to pull my hand away, clawing at it with her fingers. I wrap my arm around her and force her to walk to the side of the house with me. She gets even angrier when she realizes what I'm doing, so she starts fighting me with all her strength. I hate having to use any force on her right now, but it's for her own protection. When I finally get her to the side of the house, behind the protective shield of trees, I push her against the wall and keep my hand over her mouth. Stop, Sloane. I say, looking her dead in the eyes. Listen to me. Be quiet and let me explain. Please. She's breathing heavily against my hand, gripping it with both of hers. When she finally stops struggling, I press one hand against the house beside her head, and I slowly begin to remove the other from her mouth. She's panting with fear by the time I put my other hand beside her head. I don't even try to lie to her. More than anything, I need her to understand the truth. Everything I've ever said to you, every look I've given you, every time I've touched you, it was never for the job, Sloane, not once. Do you understand that? She doesn't respond. She just looks at me with the same doubt she looks at the rest of the world with. I wince because I hate that I've put her in this position. I hate that she even doubts me. I hate that I've given her all the reason in the world to. And I hate that I don't know a single goddamn thing I could say to make her believe that what I feel for her has nothing to do with a stupid job. I wrap her in my arms, and I don't try to convince her with more words. I just hug her because I can't stand to know she's feeling what she's feeling. After several moments of being frozen stiff in my arms, she slowly begins to relax. Her hands come up and fist my shirt, and she begins to melt against me. She presses her face against my chest and starts crying. So I cradle her as tight as I can. I squeeze my eyes shut and whisper in her hair.
You're all I see, Sloane, beyond the job, beyond right and wrong. You're all I see. I press my lips to the side of her head, and I don't attempt to excuse anything else or deny that I'm here undercover. I don't know how she figured it out, but at this point, I don't care about that. I need you to know that no matter the reason I'm here, it has nothing to do with how I feel about you. She's still crying when she finally pulls back enough to look up at me. Promise me you aren't using me to get to him. I'm surprised I can't hear the crack as it makes its way through my heart. Sloan, I whisper. I can't think of anything else to say because her pain is making it hurt too bad to think. I feel nothing but guilt. I kiss her forehead and then the side of her head. She must be able to sense everything I'm feeling right now because she sighs like she's momentarily relieved. She relaxes enough in my arms to let me know she believes me. When our lips finally meet, it's as if she's silently begging me to kiss away whatever doubts might return. So I do. I kiss her with as much truth as I have in me. I shouldn't be kissing her, and she shouldn't be kissing me, but neither of us chooses the responsible path in this moment. I move her against the wall of the house again to ensure our privacy, but I can't find the strength to pull away from her. Every second that passes is a second that should never pass at all with my mouth on hers, but I can't stop what's happening. All I can think about is how I can get more of her. When I press into her, she moans against my mouth, and that sound pushes away everything else. The anxiety, the common sense, my need for her completely takes over, and based on the way her hands are sliding inside my shirt, so does hers. I'm in the fog, and I don't see myself finding my way out of it anytime soon. Fucking hell. God, Sloan, I whisper, dragging my mouth across hers for air. I lift one of her legs to my side, then the other. My car, I whisper, wrapping her around me and turning to carry her in that direction. It's dark enough outside and the property is encased with enough trees that I'm not worried about neighbors seeing us as we climb into my back seat. The only thing I'm worried about is the fact that her fiancé is inside the house and getting caught would mean... I don't even want to think about that right now. Dalton hasn't texted me yet, so we've got time. I shut the back door and reach over the front seat, grabbing a condom out of the glove box. When I fall back against the seat, she's sliding on top of me, mouth on mine, hands on my chest. Down my chest. I lift her bra over her breasts and work my mouth over her at the same time she frees me from my jeans. Once I get the condom on, I grab her hips and position her on top of me while she pulls her panties aside. I lean my head back against the seat so I can watch her face as I enter her. We make eye contact and I begin to lower her on top of me, slowly. Everything grows much quieter in the car. My eyes never leave hers the whole time she's taking me in. When we're finally skin to skin and I'm fully inside her, we simultaneously release a sharp exhale. It's the best thing I've ever felt, finally being inside her. It's the guiltiest I've ever felt, knowing how much danger my lack of willpower is putting her in. She leans forward and wraps her arms around my neck. Luke, she breathes against my lips. I fucking die. She called me Luke. My mouth finds hers again and I kiss her the way she deserves to be kissed, with conviction, with respect, with feeling. She begins to move on top of me and she's all I see. I close my eyes and she's all I fucking see.
35. Sloan. I had no idea it could feel like this. That sounds so cliche, even as I'm thinking it. But his hands, his mouth, the way he touches me, it's like my response is what he lives for. And right now, the only thing I'm focused on is the way he's moving his hand against me, touching me in just the right place that I'm afraid I might not only wake Asa up, but the entire neighborhood. As if he can sense this, he covers my mouth with his, stifling my moans as I crush myself against him. My legs begin to shake. My arms, my whole body, as a sensation I've never felt, slams through me. Luke, I moan against his lips. I love his name. I love saying it out loud. I love that I can tell how much he loves it when I say his real name out loud. As weak as I am in this moment, I find the strength to continue moving until I'm the one having to stifle his sounds. His mouth is incredible. He tastes like fruit. He tastes sweet. Nothing like the bitterness I swallow when I kiss Asa. When we're both no longer shaking and I'm unmoving on top of him, he leans forward and feathers his lips across my shoulder. I don't know how I went from hating him 2 hours ago in the kitchen to feeling more for him in this moment than all the days before combined. Knowing that he's not like Asa, that he's the complete opposite of Asa, it's so attractive. He's good. He's a good guy. They actually exist. It all came together like an epiphany while I was floating in the pool. Him calling himself by the wrong name. Him taking a Spanish class that is years beneath his ability, only to conveniently be in there with me. The way he continued to reassure me that I needed to trust him, but he would never say why. Using another girl as a decoy. That was the kicker. I figured that one out before he even came clean at the pool. When Dalton said Carter, or Luke, rather, was telling the truth, I knew there was more to it. More to Tilly. More to Luke blatantly making out with someone else when he's in the same house as me. I told myself that if he came outside and denied ever being with her, I would know then that he's a liar, that he's just like Asa. But if he came outside and told me the truth, that he was using her to throw Asa off, then I knew I was right, that it was part of the job for him. I just didn't know which one I preferred to hear, that he was just like Asa, or that he'd been using me this whole time to get to Asa. As soon as he realized I had figured it out, I was expecting that to be the end of us. I thought he would fear for his job and try to cut some kind of deal with me to keep me quiet, because guys like him, guys with careers who are good and successful and kind, they don't fall for girls like me. Or at least that's what I was raised to believe. But I was wrong, because he's not worried about his job. The only concern he had was for me. And to be someone's main concern feels a hell of a lot like being loved. When he says all he sees is me, I believe him, because all I see is him. And right now, I want to soak up every second of him. His arms are wrapped around me, and we're both just trying to catch our breath. This was stupid. We both know it, but right now, I would say it was completely worth it.
As much as I wish you could stay right where you are forever, you should go back inside, he says.
He kisses the side of my head. I know he's right, but I wish he wasn't. Inside is the last place I want to be after this. I run my fingers through his hair and can smell the fresh scent of shampoo.
Did you shower before you came back to the house?
He smiles. I can see it, even in the dark.
So you showered and you had condoms in your car. Were you expecting to get laid tonight? I tease.
He drops his head against the headrest and a slow, satisfied grin stretches across his lips.
I showered because I like to look good for you. I have a condom in my car because I like to be prepared, and it's been there for 6 months, in case you're curious.
I was, but I don't have a right to be. He knows what still happens between Asa and me at night. If I could stop it, I would, but it's just not an option right now. Not until I'm no longer in this house. But we don't talk about that. About the fact that I'm still with Asa, and about how what just happened between Luke and me wasn't right, no matter how right it felt. But I honestly don't care that I just cheated on Asa. I should feel guilty, but I don't.
Karma's a bitch, Asa Jackson.
Luke runs his thumb over my arm and pushes down my bra strap. He dips his thumb under it, rubbing back and forth. I'm tracing his jaw. He has a great face. Masculine in all the right places, but a hint of soft femininity to his lips.
How did you figure it out?
He asks. I grin.
You're all I see, Luke. And I'm really smart, he nods.
Yes, you are.
He presses his palms against my back and pulls me against him. But before his lips meet mine, my back hits the seat and he's hovering over me, covering my mouth with his hand.
"Be quiet," he whispers, looking out the front window.
My heart feels like it climbs up my throat. "We're dead. We're dead. We are dead." I hear a heavy pounding against the window, but I'm not so sure it isn't just my heart.
"Open the fucking door!"
I close my eyes, but feel Luke's mouth press against my ear.
"It's just Dalton," he whispers. "Stay down."
"Just Dalton?" He says that like he trusts Dalton. So I nod and cover myself with my arms as Luke sits up and opens the door. Something comes flying into the back seat and Luke catches it in his arms. Dalton leans down and looks at us.
"Next time you two decide to sneak off and fuck, make sure you take your clothes with you."
Luke hands me my shirt and jeans that Dalton just threw at him. I frantically pull my shirt over my head, embarrassed that we were so careless.
"Is he awake?" Luke asks Dalton.
Dalton eyes him hard, saying so many things with that look that I don't even begin to understand.
"No, but you need to leave before you get us both killed."
Then Dalton turns and looks at me.
"And you need to get back in the house before Carter gets you killed."
He stands up, and right before he slams the car door, he says,
"We need to talk before you leave, Carter."
It's in this moment that I realize they're both a part of whatever this is. Dalton is speaking to Luke like he knows more than even I do. Their friendship is starting to make more sense. I'm struggling into my jeans when Luke reaches over to help me. I really should keep calling him Carter in my head. Otherwise, I'll likely slip up and call him Luke around Asa. "Are you in trouble?" I ask him. I button my jeans and then straighten out my shirt. He slides a hand around to the nape of my neck.
"I'm always in trouble, Sloan."
He gives me a quick peck on the lips.
"I wish I could tell you I'm good at my job, but my priorities are a little out of line."
I laugh. "I personally think your priorities for the past half hour were spot on." He kisses me again.
"Go. Be careful."
I kiss him back, hard. And when I walk away from him this time, it doesn't hurt quite as much. Because now I have hope. Hope that he has a plan to get us out of this mess. I smiled the entire time I'm in the shower because when I opened the back door and walked into a spotless kitchen, I knew without a doubt it had been Carter who cleaned it. No one, and I mean no one, has ever lifted a finger to help me around this house. I'm not sure I've ever heard that cleaning is the way to a girl's heart, but based on my reaction, I'd say it's the way to mine, because I nearly cried when I heard the dishwasher running. That's really sad. Loading a dishwasher means more to me than an engagement ring. From the outside looking in, it would seem my priorities are way out of line, too. But I much prefer them this way. Asa is passed out on the bed when I walk into our bedroom. He's sprawled across the whole mattress, naked. Great. I'm going to have to try and wake him up or roll him to his side of the bed, but he's way too heavy for me. I walk around to his side of the bed and grab his arm and try pulling him across the mattress. He doesn't budge, but he does groan between snores. Then he vomits all over my damn comforter. I close my eyes and try to remain calm. Of course he would ruin this beautiful night. He continues vomiting between bouts of groaning, filling the room with an acidic smell. I rush to the desk and retrieve the trash can. Then I lean over him and lift his head so that he's vomiting into the trash can. He throws up two more times and then finally, after a few minutes of calm, he opens his eyes. When he looks up at me, the terrifying look in his eyes from earlier is gone, replaced with a childlike innocence.
"Thank you, baby," he mutters.
I place the trash can back on the floor and then put my hand on the side of his head. "Asa, I need you to try and stand up. I need to take the comforter off the bed." He rolls over, away from the vomit, and pulls a pillow to his chest, falling back to sleep almost immediately. "Asa," I shake him, but he's out again. I stand up and look around the room, trying to figure out how I'm going to do this without having to go downstairs and ask for help. There's no way I can do this by myself, and I'm not about to sleep downstairs on the couch. Not with John here. I'm praying Dalton or Carter are still here, because letting John or Kevin know that Asa is out cold will not be doing me any favors when it comes to my safety. To my relief, Carter and Dalton are standing at the door preparing to leave when I make it downstairs. Carter stands alert when he sees me. I need someone to help me lift Asa so I can change my comforter. He threw up everywhere. John mutters, "Good luck with that," from the couch. Carter glares in John's direction and then immediately starts to head to the stairs. I can see the disapproval in Dalton's eyes, but he begins to follow Carter as well. When we all make it up to the bedroom, the stench is so bad, I'm forced to cover my nose to keep from gagging. "Holy shit," Dalton mutters. He walks straight to a window and opens it. We all look down at Asa, and I'm a little embarrassed for him that he's naked. But knowing Asa, he wouldn't care. And even if he did, it's no one's fault but his own that he's in this position. Carter reaches down and tries to shake him awake.
"Asa, wake up."
Asa groans, but still doesn't wake up.
"What the hell did he take?" Carter asks, turning toward Dalton. Dalton shrugs.
"Hell if I know. I saw him chew a few pills on the way to the casino, heroin on the way home."
Carter doesn't even hesitate when he leans forward and hooks Asa under the arms. He lifts him up and then stands, pulling Asa away from the bed. I immediately gather the comforter and wad it up. I'm not even going to attempt to wash this one. I set it in the hallway and then change the sheets, just to be safe.
"Which side does he sleep on?"
Carter asks, still holding him beneath his arms. I point to Asa's side of the bed, and Carter drags him over there. Dalton helps lift him back onto the bed, and I pull another blanket out of the closet and cover him with it. When I'm tucking it around him, Asa opens his eyes and looks up at me. He runs a hand over his face, wincing.
"What's that smell?"
he grumbles. "You threw up on the bed," he grimaces.
"Did you clean it up?"
I nod and whisper. "Yeah, I changed the sheets. Go back to sleep." He doesn't close his eyes. Instead, he lifts his hand and tugs at a strand of my hair.
"You take such good care of me, Sloan."
I stare at him for a second, at this vulnerable version of him. And somehow, even with Carter standing in the room with me, I feel for him. I can't not feel for him. Asa isn't the way he is because he chooses to be. I feel like he is who he is because he was never shown how to be anything different. For that, he'll always have my sympathy. He'll never have my heart, and he'll likely never even have my forgiveness. But I can't help but give him my sympathy. I start to stand up, but he reaches out and grabs my wrist, pulling me back down. I lower myself to my knees beside the bed, and Asa wraps his hand over mine. His eyes are closed when he whispers,
"One time, when I was 5, I threw up on my bed. My father made me sleep in it, said it'd teach me not to do it again."
He releases a small laugh, but then his eyes squeeze together even tighter.
"Guess the bastard was wrong about that, too," he mutters.
Oh, God. My hand goes to my heart as I ache for the little boy in him. I turn and look at Carter and Dalton, and they're looking at Asa with just as much pity as I am. When I turn back toward Asa, he's rolling onto his stomach, burying his face into his pillow. He grips the pillow in both fists and presses his face against it so hard, I'm convinced he's trying to smother himself. His shoulders begin to shake as they roll forward into the pillow. "Asa," I whisper, soothing a hand over his head. He becomes a wreck of sobs. It's the kind of cry that is so deep and heart-wrenching, it's not even accompanied by a sound. Completely silent. I've never seen Asa cry. I didn't even know he was capable of real tears. He won't remember any of this tomorrow. He won't know if I left him here alone or crawled into bed and held him. I continue to soothe Asa's head as I glance up at Carter. Dalton is no longer in the room. It's just the 3 of us now. Carter walks over to me, and I can see equal amounts of sympathy in his eyes. He lifts his hand and runs it over my cheek, then bends forward and kisses me on the forehead. He holds his lips there for several seconds before breaking away and walking toward the door. When he reaches the doorway, he turns around and stares at me for a moment. He lifts a hand and slowly runs his thumb over his bottom lip. My heart reaches out for him, but I stay planted on the floor, comforting Asa. I lift my hand and pull at a strand of my hair, winding it around my finger. Carter's lips stretch into a ghost of a smile as he watches me for a few seconds longer, then closes the door. I climb onto the bed, under the covers, and I wrap myself around Asa, soothing his tears until I'm convinced he's finally asleep. But right before I drift off, I hear him whisper,
"You better never fucking leave me, Sloan."
36. Asa. The first thing I see when I open the refrigerator is a bowl of leftover spaghetti. Thank God. "See, Dad?" I whisper to no one. "She's a fucking godsend." I put the spaghetti in the microwave and then walk over to the sink to splash water on my face. It feels like I slept with my head in the fucking toilet all night. Hell, based on the stench of the bedroom this morning, I probably did. I lean over the counter, waiting for the spaghetti to finish heating up. I stare at the bowl as it rotates in circles inside the microwave. I wonder if I killed him. I doubt it. It's been almost a day since we left the casino. If he died, the police would have been here by now. And if he lived, I'm almost positive he won't press charges. He knows he deserved what I did to him. The microwave beeps. I pull the spaghetti out and grab a fork, then shove a bite into my mouth. I barely get it swallowed before I have to find the trash can. I throw up twice, rinse out my mouth, and then force another bite of spaghetti into my mouth. I'll push through this withdrawal like a motherfucker, because I am not turning out like that man. I eat another bite of spaghetti and swallow it down with my bile. Push through it, Asa. The front door swings open, and Sloan walks inside. I glance at the clock and notice it's barely after 2. She's never home from school this early. Either she doesn't notice me standing in the kitchen, or it's that time of the month and she's in a pissy mood, because she rushes straight up the stairs and to the bedroom. Not a minute later, I hear her making a mess of the bedroom. Stuff falling to the floor. Her feet moving from one side of the room to the other. I stare up at the ceiling, wondering what the fuck she's doing. My head hurts too bad to go up and look for myself. I don't have to, because a few seconds later, she's storming down the stairs. When she rounds the corner to the kitchen, my dick twitches in my pants. She's angry as hell, and it's hot as fuck. I smile at her as she marches toward me. Before I can even get a word out, she's in my face. She shoves a finger in my chest. "Where is the paperwork, Asa?" Paperwork? What the fuck is she talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? Her chest is heaving, and if she would just step a few inches closer, I would be able to feel it. "My brother's file," she says. "Where is it, Asa?" Oh. That paperwork. I carefully place the bowl of spaghetti on the counter and then bring my arms up and fold them over my chest. "I don't know what you're talking about, Sloan." She inhales a meticulous breath, exhales it with even more precision, and then spins around. She puts her hands on her hips, trying to find the strength to remain calm. I knew if she ever found out what I did, she'd be pissed. Even so, I've never really given much thought as to how I'd talk my way out of it.
2 years,
she says, gritting her teeth. She spins back around, and her eyes are full of tears. Well, shit. I didn't mean to make her cry. For 2 years, I thought you were paying for his care. You showed me the paperwork, Asa. The letters the state sent. The check stubs. She begins pacing back and forth. The social worker thought I was an idiot today when I asked her if his benefits could ever be renewed. Do you know what she said to me, Asa? I shrug. She takes a step forward, folding her arms over her chest. She said, "The benefits were never canceled, Sloan. Stephen's care has never been private pay." Tears are streaming down her cheeks now. For the first time since she walked down here, I start to get a little uncomfortable that maybe I took it too far with this lie. She's angrier than I've ever seen her. She can't leave me. Sloan. I take a step forward and put my hands on her shoulders. Baby, listen. I had to do whatever I could to get you back. You left me. I'm sorry you're upset. I move my hands to her cheeks. You shouldn't be mad about this, though. It took a lot of fucking effort and money on my part. If anything, you should be flattered that you're that important to me. Her hands come up between mine, and she pushes me away from her. You fucking asshole! She yells. You forged an entire file to back up your lies, Asa? Monthly letters from the government? Who the fuck does that? She has no idea how much money I had to pay the fucker who sends those, or she'd be thanking me right now. She points at me. You trapped me. This whole time, you made me think there was no way out. I swallow the anger down. I take a step forward. Did I really just hear her right? I trapped you? She wipes angrily at her tears and nods, lowering her voice. Yes, Asa. You trapped me. I've been your fucking prisoner for the last 2 years, thinking my brother was about to have to go back to my worthless mother. All because you knew if you didn't have that to hold over my head, I would have left you. She doesn't mean what she's saying. She's angry. She would never leave me. Yes, I lied to her. Yes, I paid a shit ton of money to make it look like her brother's benefits were canceled. But it was a temporary fix. She would have come crawling back to me eventually if it weren't for that. I just made it easier on her. Is that what you think? That you've been a prisoner here? I ask. Do I not give you a place to sleep? Buy your groceries? Give you nice things? Allow you to go to college? Drive my cars? I walk her backward until she's pressed against the wall, my hands caging her in. Don't you dare stand here, in my home, and imply that you didn't have every opportunity in the world to walk out that front door. I push off the wall and point toward the living room. Go. If you don't love me anymore, fucking leave. She would never leave. I know this, because if she left, that would mean she's been using me for my money these last 2 years. Using me as a sole means to support her goddamn waste of space brother. If that's the case, that would make her a whore by definition. And I'm not marrying a fucking whore. Sloan glances at the door, and then looks back at me. She shakes her head, and I swear she smiles. Goodbye, Asa. Enjoy your life. She begins walking toward the front door. I do enjoy my life, Sloan. I enjoy it a whole fucking bunch. I allow her to reach the front door before I walk after her. She's not even to the grass before I have my arm wrapped around her waist, my hand over her mouth. I turn her around and walk her back into the goddamn house she's so ungrateful for. I carry her straight up to the bedroom and kick open the door. I toss her onto the bed, and she tries to scoot off and run around me. How cute. I grab her by the hair and swing her back to the bed. She screams, but I put a stop to that with my hand. I climb on top of her, covering her mouth with one hand and holding her wrists down with the other. There's not much I can do about her legs, as she does her best to kick her way out from under me. But I have more strength in one finger than she does in her entire body. It feels more like she's tickling me than attempting to hurt me.
"Listen up, babe," I whisper, staring down at her. "If you try to insinuate that you don't love me, I'm going to be really upset. Really fucking upset. Because that would mean you've been pretending with me since the day you walked back through my door. That would mean you've been faking every orgasm, every kiss, every word you've ever spoken to me, simply for a monthly check. And if that were true, that would make you a whore, Sloane. Do you know what men like me do to whores?"
Her eyes are wide with fear. Hopefully that means I'm getting through to her. She's no longer attempting to kick her way out from under me, so that's a good sign.
"That was a question, babe. Do you know what men like me do to whores?"
A tear falls out of her eye as she shakes her head. I can feel the breath from her nostrils slamming against my hand. She's struggling so hard for more air. I lower my mouth to her ear.
"Please don't make me show you."
We lie like this for a few more moments, while I make sure my words are sinking in. I pull back and look down at her. Her expression hasn't changed, but now she's crying so hard against my hand, snot is coming from her nose. It's on my fucking hand now. I pull it away from her mouth and wipe it on the bed. Then I grab the sleeve of my shirt and I wipe her face clean. Her lips are quivering. I don't know why I've never noticed how fucking attractive her fear is. I kiss her softly, closing my eyes while her lips tremble against mine.
"Do you love me?"
I carefully whisper the words against her mouth.
"Or are you a whore?"
A shaky breath passes her lips.
"I love you," she whispers. "I'm sorry. I was just upset, Asa. I don't like it when you lie to me."
I press my forehead to the side of her head and exhale. In a way, she's right. I probably should have never lied to her about her brother. But if she had been in my shoes, she'd have done the same thing. "Don't ever get angry like that with me again, Sloane." I pull back and brush her hair out of her face. It's sweaty and sticks to my hand. I run my fingers through it, smoothing it out with the rest of her hair.
"I don't like what it does to me. What it makes me want to have to do to you."
"I don't like it either,"
she says.
Her eyes are full of regret, but I don't feel bad. It's her own fault for coming at me like she did. At least that's out of the way, though. It was becoming tedious to keep up with that lie for so long, I was starting to get sloppy with it. I release her wrists and bring my hand to her face, running the backs of my knuckles across her cheek.
"Should we kiss and make up now?"
She nods, and when I press my lips to hers, I exhale with relief. Because for a split second, when she was walking toward the front door, I thought maybe she was serious about leaving. I thought maybe I would never get to taste her like this again. I'm relieved it was an empty threat. I don't know what I'd do if I ever found out she didn't actually love me. She's the only one who does.
37. Sloane. I close my eyes and allow the spray of water to beat down on my face. What was I thinking? Why did I think it was okay to confront him alone? I didn't even warn Carter what I was about to do. That was really dumb. But in my defense, it's hard to think when you're in a blind rage. After I left my doctor's appointment this morning, I got the call from the social worker. I had been driving toward campus, and when she revealed that my brother's care wasn't private pay, I lost it. Completely lost it. I turned the car around and drove straight to my brother's facility to meet with her. By the time I left, I had never been that angry. The only thing I could think about was Asa and how I wanted to kill him. Rage really does blind you. When I walked into the kitchen to confront him, I didn't care that he could hurt me. I just wanted to know if it was true, if he'd somehow been sending me forged letters from the government. I didn't want to believe it, because believing it would mean he is certifiably insane. But the only type of person who could invent a lie like that and keep it up for 2 years has to be certifiably insane. I remember the day he brought over my mail after we broke up the first time. The benefits letter was on top. After I read the letter, I was devastated. The bastard actually comforted me, told me that if I ever needed anything, he'd help me in a heartbeat. He said, "That's what you do for the people you love, Sloan. You help them." That was back when I believed he actually loved me, and it was a heartfelt gesture. Now, I think it's more of a psychotic obsession. I had nowhere else to go, and thanks to what I thought was about to happen to Stephen, I ended up being forced to ask Asa for help. It was a last resort, for sure. Hell, I even called the number on the form that day to see if I had any other options. Now, I realize it was obviously a fake number with one of Asa's friends on the other line, but I didn't realize it at the time. The hot water mixes with the tears that are now streaking down my cheeks. How could I have fallen for it for so long? All the pieces are still coming together, right down to why he only lets me use his car on Sundays to go visit Stephen. The social worker doesn't work on Sundays. There would be no chance I'd ever run into her and strike up a conversation about his benefits. I still can't wrap my mind around it, and it's been hours since I found out. I try to tell myself it took me so long to find out the truth because I had no reason to think he would do something like that. But I had every reason. That's what Asa does. He's a liar, a cheat. He sabotages people. He sets people up. I'm so angry with myself right now, I scrub my body even harder, wanting to get his smell off me. I'm scrubbing my neck when the shower curtain flies open. I gasp and move so that my back is against the wall and I can better fight him off if it comes down to that. Asa is standing in front of me, completely dressed now in dark blue jeans and a crisp white t-shirt. It makes the tattoos on his arms look brighter, angrier. But his expression isn't angry right now. He looks confused, and he's actually staring at my face and not my breasts.
"Do you think it's weird that no one comes over here anymore?"
he asks. There are people here all the time, so I have no idea how to answer him. Is this a trick question? His thoughts are becoming more and more unpredictable. I blow out a breath and turn my back to the water, rinsing the conditioner out of my hair. "I'm not sure what you mean, Asa. You have friends over all the time." When the conditioner is rinsed from my hair, I glance over at him. He's staring down at the tub, at the water circling the drain.
"There used to be so many people here. All day, every day, all night. Now it's just the people who live here and one or two others, unless I have a party."
"It's because you're unpredictable and you scare people, Asa." "Maybe they're all just busy," I suggest. His eyes flick up to mine. They're still full of confusion, a little disappointment. I don't know a lot about drugs or what it's like coming down from them, but paranoia may be a withdrawal symptom. I hope so, because otherwise I'm not sure what to make of this version of Asa.
"Yeah," he says. "Maybe they're just busy. Or they aren't, and they just want me to think they are, because everyone fucking pretends around here."
His words are harsh, but his voice is calm, still with a hint of confusion. I'm praying he's not referring to Carter when he says everyone pretends, or referring to me. I need to warn Carter. Something just isn't right with him today. I've never been scared for my life like I was when Asa pulled me back inside the house. I'm tempted to not tell Carter about what happened because I know he'll be upset that I confronted him alone.
"We should reward the few loyal friends I have left.
Let's host a dinner tonight. Will you cook? I nod. For how many people? He doesn't even hesitate with the answer he spits out. Me, you, John, Dalton, Kevin, and Carter. I want the food ready at 7 o'clock. I'll text them now.
He closes the shower curtain. What the hell is wrong with him?
I blow out a steady breath and grab the washcloth. I'm scrubbing the heels of my feet when he opens the shower curtain again. When I look into his eyes, he's still shockingly looking at my face and nothing else. He opens his mouth, closes it, and then pauses for 2 seconds before...
Are you mad at me?
Is that another trick question? I loathe you, Asa. I gauge his expression and then reply with, I'm not very happy with you. He sighs and then nods like he doesn't blame me. Now I really know something is wrong with him.
I shouldn't have lied to you about your brother's benefits. Sometimes I think I could treat you better than I do.
I swallow the lump in my throat. Then why don't you? His eyes narrow with a slight tilt of his head like he's actually contemplating my question.
I don't know how.
He closes the shower curtain. The bathroom door slams shut. I clench my stomach because I feel like I might puke. Everything he does makes me so nervous to be around him. After that weird conversation, it's increased tenfold. Thank God he's inviting everyone over tonight because I really don't want to be alone with him. I need Carter to be here. I'm about to turn off the water when the bathroom door reopens. Seconds later, the shower curtain opens from the opposite end this time. My hand freezes on the knob when I hear him step inside the shower.
No, no, no. Please don't make me have sex with you.
I inhale a steadying breath, hoping he's just waiting for his turn in the shower. A few seconds pass, but I don't feel him step up behind me. He doesn't say anything. My heart is beating so fast, I get lightheaded. I straighten up and slowly turn around. His white t-shirt is soaked through and he still has his jeans on. He's leaning against the back wall of the shower, barefoot, staring down at the tub. I wait a moment to see what he wants. When he fails to move or speak, he just keeps staring at nothing. I finally speak up. The fear cracks the sound of my voice when I say, "What are you doing, Asa?" My question breaks him out of his trance. His eyes flick up to mine. He stares for approximately 5 painstakingly long seconds, and then he looks around the shower and back down at his clothes. He runs his hands over them like he has no idea why they're wet. He shakes his head and says,
"I don't fucking know."
My knees grow weak at his reaction. I don't even turn off the water. I step out of the shower as fast as I can and grab a towel. I don't even bother getting dressed before swinging open the door to run to the bedroom. I just need to stay as far away from him as I can until Carter gets here, and I know I'll be a little safer. As soon as I step out into the hallway, something to my right catches my eye. I look over and see John about to walk into the bedroom at the end of the hall. His hand is on the door, and he's staring at me, his eyes scrolling down my towel-covered body. When I see the disgusting grin stretch across his face, I walk the 3 feet to my bedroom door. "Don't even think about it, you piece of fucking shit." I slam the bedroom door and lock myself away from every last one of these crazy assholes. I walk to my phone and I text Carter. "Me. He's losing his mind. Please show up early." I delete the text and wait for the sound of the shower to cut off. It doesn't. After I'm dressed and about to head to the store, I decide to check on him. I open the bathroom door and he's no longer standing. He's sitting in the tub, still fully clothed, the water beating down on him. His eyes are wide open and the water is running over them. I grip the doorknob and take a small step back. "I'm going to the grocery store, Asa. What do you want me to cook tonight?" His head doesn't move, but his eyes scroll across the bathroom and meet mine.
"Meatloaf."
I nod. "Okay. You want anything else while I'm there?" He stares at me for a few seconds, and then he smiles.
"Get a dessert for the celebration."
Celebration?
My throat suddenly becomes itchy, and it's hard to swallow. Okay, I say, my voice weak. What are we celebrating? His eyes leave mine and move straight ahead again.
You'll see.
38. Carter. I have no idea why Asa invited us over for dinner. We've been at his house almost every night lately. Tonight shouldn't be any different. I was hoping Sloane was being paranoid in her text when she said he's losing his mind, but I'm a little worried she's spot on. I can smell the food before I even open the front door. When I walk inside and look around, Dalton is the only one not here yet. John and Asa are taking up both recliners, and Kevin is on the couch. Asa is leaning forward with his elbows on his knees, remote in hand, flipping through news channels. When he hears the door close behind me, he turns around. I nod my head in his direction, and he turns back to the TV. Do you watch the news, Carter? I glance toward the kitchen to see Sloane standing at the bar, wiping it down with a rag. I can see her from where I'm standing, but Asa can't. Sometimes, I say. Sloane cuts her eyes to mine and lifts a finger to her hair. I run my thumb across my bottom lip. She lifts her other hand to her head and twirls three of her fingers in her hair. Then five, then all 10. Then she's mock ripping at her hair with both hands, twirling it in all directions, letting me know she's going crazy. I want to smile at her, but I force myself to walk into the living room and take a seat next to Kevin. Why'd you want to know if I watch the news? I ask Asa. He flips to another channel. I haven't heard anything about my father, just making sure he survived and I'm not about to be arrested for murder. He says it so nonchalant, like the possibility of being arrested for murder is a daily occurrence. I nod, but fail to tell him that his father survived. He wasn't even hurt that bad, actually. The casino called an ambulance for him, but other than a broken nose and a broken jaw, there isn't any serious damage. The guy didn't even want to press charges. Dalton told me all this after he checked into it today. He also told me the guy was an addict. He was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic, and he had a shitload of other issues. I hate to say it, I have a little sympathy for Asa somewhere deep down inside. There's no telling what he went through as a child with that man as a father. But sympathy is as far as it goes. You can sympathize with someone and still wish they were dead. I keep the information about his father's condition to myself. I think it's good that Asa is worried about repercussions. It's not something he probably experiences very often. Asa sighs after flipping through all the news channels twice and coming up empty. He stands up and throws the remote toward John. You guys make sure and wash your hands. My fiancé worked hard cooking this dinner, and I don't want any of you fuckers seated at my table with filthy hands. He heads to the stairs and runs up to his room. His bedroom door closes, and I glance at Kevin, who is staring at the empty stairs. He's being really fucking weird, Kevin says. John begins flipping through the channels and says, What's new? Neither one of them bothers going to the kitchen to wash their hands, so I use the opportunity to walk in there. Sloane is pulling the meatloaf out of the oven when I pass her. Hey, Sloane, I say casually. She looks at me but doesn't smile. She shoots me a look that tells me we need to talk. There's just not really a way to do that right now. I turn the water on and she walks the meatloaf to the counter next to me. She sticks a knife between the loaf and the pan and begins working it loose.
I messed up today, she whispers.
I turn the water to a lower pressure so I can hear her better.
I found out he's been lying to me about my brother's benefits. I confronted him, told him I was leaving him. He got really angry.
Sloane, I say quietly, why the hell would she do that?
Are you okay?
She shrugs.
I am right now, but something is off with him, Carter. I'm scared. He sat in the shower with his clothes on for half an hour. Then when I got home from the grocery store, I looked out the window and saw him sitting on a lounge chair staring at the pool. Then he just started slapping his palm against his forehead. He did it 36 times. I counted.
Jesus Christ. She glances up at me, and I hate how scared she looks. I should just take her now. Grab her hand, pull her outside while he's upstairs, and get her the fuck out of here.
Now he keeps saying he has a surprise for me. He's talking like this dinner is some kind of celebration, she whispers. I'm scared to find out what it is we're celebrating.
Asa's footsteps move overhead, like he's about to head downstairs. Sloane grabs the pan of meatloaf and walks it to the table. The other two guys must hear Asa heading downstairs as well, because they're at the sink now preparing to wash their hands like he instructed. We help Sloane carry the rest of the food to the table just as Dalton walks through the front door. It's only 6:55, but he sees Asa bounding down the stairs and he apologizes for being late.
You aren't late, Asa says. You're right on time.
I take a seat and it ends up being directly across from Asa, diagonal from Sloane. It's oddly quiet as everyone passes around the food, divvying it onto their plates. Once all the food has been passed around the table, Asa grabs his fork and says,
Should we say grace?
No one speaks. We all just stare at him, wondering if he's kidding or if someone needs to start praying before he flips his shit. He laughs loudly and says,
You stupid fucks.
He shoves his fork into his mashed potatoes and swallows a bite. John says,
This is twice in a row we've had dinner here. What gives? Is this what happens when you become domesticated?
Asa narrows his eyes in John's direction, then washes his mashed potatoes down with his beer.
Where's Jess tonight?
John shrugs.
Haven't seen her in a few days. I think we broke up.
Asa chuckles, then he looks at me.
Where's Tilly?
I run my thumb across my bottom lip.
Working? She might stop by tomorrow night.
Asa licks his lips, taking another sip of his beer.
That would be nice, he says. Then he looks at Dalton. How come you've never brought a girl over?
Dalton speaks with a mouthful of meatloaf.
She lives in Nashville.
Asa nods and says, What's her name?
Steph. She's a singer.
She's why I was almost late, actually. She signed a recording contract today, and she called to tell me about it. He looks proud when he talks about her. It almost makes me laugh because there is no Steph. He just made all that shit up on the fly, and Asa swallows it down like a warm glass of milk.
That's cool, Asa says.
Asa likes Dalton. I can tell by the way he looks at him, without any suspicion at all. Not like the way he looks at me.
Something wrong with your fucking mouth, Carter?
I glance at him and raise my eyebrow.
You're rubbing your goddamn lip raw.
I didn't even realize I was still rubbing my lip. I pull my hand from my mouth. All good, I say, taking a bite of the meatloaf. The last thing I want to do is provoke him, not with the way he's been acting lately. Asa takes a bite of his meatloaf, and then he rests his hands beside his plate.
So, he says, I have a little surprise.
He smiles and then looks over at Sloane. I can see the roll of her throat when she swallows.
What is it?
She asks cautiously. Asa opens his mouth to speak, but he's cut off by a loud banging on the front door. I can see the irritation in his eyes as he turns to glance at the living room door. A second loud knock occurs. He drops his silverware with a loud clank onto the table and looks around at all of us.
Any of you expecting company? In the middle of fucking dinner?
No one speaks up. He scoots back from the table and slaps his napkin beside his plate. When he turns to walk into the living room, Sloane glances across the table at me. She looks scared, but also relieved that his big surprise was just interrupted. I turn to Dalton, and he raises an eyebrow. We all look at Asa as he peers through the peephole. He stares for several seconds and then presses his forehead to the door.
Fuck.
He turns and rushes to the kitchen, grabbing Sloane by the arm and pulling her up out of her chair. He grips her shoulders and says,
Go up to the room and lock the door. Don't open it, whatever you do.
I scoot my chair back and stand up. Dalton does the same. We both look at each other and then back at Asa.
Who's at the door?
John asks, pushing his chair back as well. I don't think any of us have ever seen Asa this worried. Asa glances up the stairs and around the room like he's trying to find a way to escape.
It's the fucking FBI, John. It's the fucking goddamn FBI.
What? I immediately turn to Dalton, but he shakes his head to let me know he's just as unaware as I am. I also notice his fists clench at his side.
Shit,
he says. To Asa, I'm sure Dalton's reaction is expected, but to me, I know why he's really mad. The FBI are about to walk into this house and ruin the investigation. More pounding against the door. Asa pulls his hands through his hair.
Fuck. Fuck!
I see him glance toward the back door. I can already see him trying to plan an escape route. I step forward to get his attention. If they're here to arrest anyone, they already have the house surrounded, Asa. They may just be here for questioning about your father. Just open the door and act normal.
We'll all stay seated at the table like we have nothing to hide. Dalton nods. He's right, Asa. If we all run, they'll have reason to think you're hiding something. Asa nods, but John shakes his head.
Fuck that. We've got shit all over this house. If we open the door, it's over. For all of us.
Asa's eyes are wide as he tries to figure out what to do. We all look at the front door when the banging resumes. I can see the veins in Dalton's neck, and I know he's fearing that all the work we put in was basically for nothing. The entire investigation won't mean shit, because it will now be in the hands of someone else. We've seen this happen a couple of times, an investigation being taken over by a higher-ranking force. But Dalton has put so much into this, it's going to be impossible for him to watch it go up in flames.
Go to your room, Sloane, Asa orders. You don't need to be here when I open that door.
Sloane glances at me, concern in her eyes. She wants to know if she should follow Asa's orders, if she should leave the room. More banging. I nod softly to let Sloane know she should do what Asa is asking her to do. At least she'll be out of the way of whatever is about to go down. Asa suddenly strides across the room towards Sloane. He gets in her face.
What the fuck are you looking at him for?
He yells, waving his hand in my direction. Oh, God. I start to walk around the table, but Dalton grabs my arm. Asa wraps his hand around the back of Sloane's neck and shoves her toward the stairs.
Get the fuck up the stairs!
She doesn't look back as she runs up the stairs. Asa is looking at me now. Dalton may not be happy that the FBI showed up, but I'm relieved. Chances are Asa will be arrested for whatever they're here to confront him for, which means I might survive tonight, because the look he's giving me right now is telling me otherwise. He knows. He can tell, based on that one look Sloane gave me, that something is going on between us. But between the banging on the front door and the imminent possibility that he's about to be arrested, he thankfully puts it on the back burner. He points at all four of us.
Sit the fuck down, he says. Eat. I'm opening the goddamn door.
We all take our seats. Asa rushes to the kitchen and opens a cabinet, reaching to the back of it. He pulls out a gun and slides it inside the back of his pants. As he's passing